Welcome back, Scotch Gamers, to another episode of Scotch Gaming Podcast. We're back. It's Sunday, November 25th, and this is episode 12. Sorry we weren't here last week. My internet just decided to crap itself. Telstra, thanks for that. But we're back this week. Got a lot of news to talk about. And we've got some fine hosts with us. We got Chris Mayer pouring a beer. How you been last 2 weeks, mate? What have you been up to?
Cheers.
What have you been up to, mate?
Been, talking to my girlfriend, you know, playing some WoW.
Playing a lot of Black Ops 2, actually. Kind of put Halo down for a little bit. Playing Black Ops, leveling up in the multiplayer for some reason. That's just more entertaining. I'm not quite sure why, but it is. So, yeah, just raiding, doing that, you know. About it.
Alright, and we have Shannon back again, aka Sideswipe, Mr. Cool Guy. What have you got to?
Haters. Well, after the many, many months of waiting, I finally got my PC back and it works. I'm so happy, so I can play games again. So, last week, just a little bit over a week, I've been playing Black Ops 2 as well. Doing heaps of work getting ready for Christmas sales and the Wii U coming to Australia next week, so yeah, been busy man, but been gaming a lot as well, so
awesome. We also have Liam with us today. He can't be a webcam. Well, we won't let him be a webcam because he always screws up when he is. But Liam's here nonetheless.
Exactly.
Fred, I reckon you should make the other webcams a little bigger, mate.
Nah, we're fine
Liam
with
can't
that
be on.
But Liam, what have you been up to last 3 weeks that you weren't here the last episode, so what have you been up to?
Been gaming my ass off. That's what I've been doing. And
did you say did you say gaying your ass off or gaming?
No, I've been gaming a lot.
Okay. Just to clarify.
Yeah, I've been playing like a lot of Black Ops. Assassin's Creed I've been getting in. And a bit of Guild Wars, and just working a lot. So, yeah.
Awesome. Me, I've actually been on annual leave for the past 2 weeks. I haven't worked. As you can tell, I've grown a little bit of a beard. It's quite sexy, I think, but we'll be getting there. Not quite up
job,
to their
man.
Level yet. Not quite
good
to their
job.
Level.
The fucking beard lord.
Been playing Assassin's Creed, finished that today, so I'll be telling you guys about that later. And been playing WoW as always, but that's about it. So,
how's your rating going, mate?
Going alright, I guess. Not as good as yours, but next week we're going to finish off MV Heroic. We're just not worrying about anything else and going straight into MV and just finishing that off.
Just finishing that shit up, tying it up.
Yep, exactly. So that should be fun. To all Americans that watch this, happy Thanksgiving, I guess. Hope you stuffed your face and got really fat.
Yes.
Alright, we're going to go on to our first topic. Wii U launched in America, so technically the first console of the new generation. Just firstly, start off, what do you guys think of the launch? And we'll get you to fix your camera up there a little bit, Chris, because you look like you're stoned. Alright, I hope...
Maybe he is!
Who wants to start off talking about the console?
I think Chris should start off, considering he lives in America. He'll probably know a little bit more of what it's been like.
The launch
exactly.
Of what?
The Wii U, man.
I have nothing to do with the Wii U launch. I haven't even seen anything about it, man. Come on.
I'll go then.
All right.
Yeah, you work in a game store. Come on, let's be honest.
All right. Well, from what I understand, like, I remember a few weeks ago, well, it was about a month ago now on the show, we were talking about how the US sold out of pre-sales, in particular GameStop. GameStop. And it looks like they were actually telling the truth, because it actually sold out everywhere.
Ooh,
so
wow.
there's a lot of back ordering going on at the moment. Like, and apparently, from what I've read, a lot of the stores have actually sold out of their back ordering as well. So. Yeah, there's a lot of want for the console, but I did hear a lot of problems at the launch. The biggest one notably, I would say, would be the 5 gigabyte patch that you had to install instantly as soon as you got home. So for people that lined up for a midnight launch and needed to get a gig patch, yeah, okay, the internet in the US is better, but there are still places where the internet's still not great in the US, and, you know, you're going to get connections. Well, we're not the US.
Yeah, but we can have shit tonight.
Basically, like, you know, they have to go home, yeah. And, you know, 5 gig, maybe, like, for some people, half an hour, some other people might be even longer than that, and you just have to wait, being all tired. A lot of people fell asleep and forgot about it, but it especially sucked for the guys that had the 12 gig console. Like, I don't know why you'd buy it in the beginning, why you'd buy a 12-gig console, but for those that did, half of their space was gone.
Instantly. Oh, I got 12 gigs of storage. Can't save any games now. Jeez.
That's all right. But yeah, I think there were a few problems with the launch. I think the network went down at one point as well. Did you hear about that, Shannon?
I didn't hear about it. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
I think it went down for a little while, so that happened. Obviously, the firmware thing. Also, like, well, they've done some weird things with the Wii U. Your account, like, your online account is actually tied to your Wii U. So, you guys better take care of it, your Wii U. Because if it breaks and you have to replace it, you get to replace your account as well. What do you guys think
of
that?
Is there going to be... Have they talked about any sort of feature of being able to transfer? Like, I know that with the Xbox, your Xbox Live account is tied to their cloud storage, so if you get a new Xbox, you can
save
your profile back to your Xbox. Can you do that on the Wii U, or are they just saying it's completely tied to your console?
It's tied to your console. If your console breaks, your account is gone.
That can't be right. They're going to change that, because... You know, every console has a problem here and there. There's a hiccup here and there. Like, no one's going to want to have a lot of progress on their account and all of a sudden have their fucking console broke, and the next thing you know, like, you can't use it anymore. You can't use your account. You got to start over everywhere. Like, I don't think Nintendo's going to stick with that. Like, if anything, it'll probably be on a hard drive and you could transfer an offset hard drive to a new console.
They'll probably end up having to do something in the future with it. I mean, I can't see not. I mean, look, everything in the world nowadays is cloud storage. Like, you have Steam, your account's on cloud, Xbox, your account's on cloud, everything.
Your fucking iPhone store is on cloud now. Like, shit. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, they do have, have internal hard drives, right? Like, it's not like something you can remove from the actual console. It's an internal hard drive, correct?
That's right. It's like a flash memory.
Yeah.
Maybe they might do something where you can save your profile to like an external USB.
They have to do something.
That could work. They're going to have to do something. Regardless of whether they have actually a fail-safe for it, they're going to have to develop one anyway, because that's just bullshit. Like, shit is going to happen. You know, like, I've never had a console that hasn't broken. I've had to replace consoles, I had to buy new consoles. Like, they don't last. Even if you're super careful.
Never had a single console break on me, Shannon. I've had my Xbox for 4 years, and I've never had a problem with it.
Well, maybe it's because I've got little sisters. Like, I grew up with little sisters and they're bitches, but...
like Play-Doh in the disk drive, you know?
They're definitely going to have to change that, though. And the best thing is like, you know, it's their network, so I'm fairly certain they'll be able to do an update that can adjust their settings.
Nintendo...
Do you know what is stupid, though? Like, it shouldn't actually have to come to a point where they do change it. It should be something that you would think they would incorporate into their design to begin with. Like, it annoys me when big companies decide they're going to do something like this, like bring out a console. Like, it's a multi-million dollar venture. Like, they're putting their heart and soul. Like, Nintendo is a video game company. They put everything into their console, and then they don't think about these things that actually do make sense. At least, like, Sony and Microsoft, they have a company that operates outside of being a console developer. Well, with Nintendo, that's what all that they do.
Well, this is... Nintendo, this is Nintendo's first, like, foray into the internet. So, I guess they're getting used to it. They're like, what's this cloud storage thing? Oh, shit, we fucked that one up. damn it.
I can imagine that in one of their board meetings, they had about 7 execs sitting around at a table, and they're like, right, guys, I've got this idea. We're going to put internet into the Wii U. They're like,
The internet? That was developed 30 years ago. How are we going to do this? That's ancient technology.
We just need to use the PerfNet, mate. We'll get PerfNet into the Wii next. Don't worry,
if I let them.
That was an inside joke. You
might as well know. Inside joke, guys.
One other thing that Nintendo seems to be doing differently as well, they're trying, like, with the underage users. If you're under 18 and you're dumb enough to be, like, when you're signing up for your internet account or an online account, if you're dumb enough to actually tell them that you're under 18, you're going to have to get your parents' permission and you're going to have to pay a 50 cent fee when you set up the account by credit card. I guess this is their way because they think most people under 18 probably don't have a credit card and they won't be able to pay it. So kids, if you're signing up for the Wii, just lie and say you're over 18.
50 cent fee.
Yep.
No, Kurt, keep the kids off the fucking Wii. We don't want them on there. That's like when you're enjoying a good game at Halo, and the next thing you know, there's a 9-year-old, you know, shouting on his mic, "Hey guys, get flag B, go, go, go!" It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. No one wants to hear you. They're like, "Oh, I died. Oh no." So fucking annoying. So keep the kids off the online consoles, Kurt. We don't want to encourage them to lie about their age. Like, come on.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But what do you think overall, though? Do you think this was a good thing that they... It's like, it's definitely different to actually charge underage people to get them to have parental consent.
I can totally understand them needing to prove their age by signing up a parent's credit card. Yeah, I can sort of get that. But actually charging 50 cents for it?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, man. Shit. Maybe they're going to put all the 50 cent coins that they're getting like towards developing a fail-safe for online storage. Who knows?
Mm.
But it's a very weird way of going about it, for sure. Yeah, well, definitely.
I don't think the money's actually anything to them. I think it's just a prevention method. All in all.
So they just... we've got 2 million people that bought the Wii U on the first day. That's awesome. And we're going to charge half of them 50 cents. That's actually like $500,000 if you think about it. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hey, it makes a lot of money. Maybe we should actually start getting us... getting people to send us like 50 cents every week.
Everyone... Awesome. Send us 50 cents to watch this. Nah, kidding. So all in all, we're going to go around the table. You're going to get a Wii U. And overall, what do you think of the launch period? Start off with good old Liam.
My opinion, they fucked it.
Yeah?
They fucked it.
Are you going to get one?
Nah.
No? Not at all?
But why? I don't own any Nintendo product. I wouldn't start with the Wii U, that's for sure.
You don't like the
electric point. Or I can buy a Nintendo 64 when they were good.
Well, I think technology's moved on a little bit from then. You could probably...
Doesn't matter. You
could probably just buy a Game Boy and play all the games. Alright, Shannon? I already know the answer to this,
I'm just going to get it because I always like the consoles anyway, and it's just going to be another console that I have I don't play. It definitely has its ups. I pretty much buy Nintendo consoles for exclusives anyway. You know, you don't buy a console to play Black Ops 2. You buy it to play Mario. So,
I don't think that's your Wii U.
Completely. What's that?
We're all gonna get drunk, break. Go to your house, and play Wii U.
And then it's gonna break, and I'm not gonna be able to transfer my data to the console.
Yeah, we're gonna break it on the night.
But seriously, like, obviously though. The launch was pretty lackluster in the States. Hopefully, there's a lot of fixes for our launch. Although, it's going to suck when we get probably an above 5 gig patch for when it launches.
Well, suck for you. Wouldn't suck for me, because I'm alright with that. Because I download movies that big, so not a problem.
The thing is that it takes up your Wii storage.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy a Wii anyway.
The storage in the Wii isn't that big, so...
Even on the premium version of 32 gig, like, that's...
5 gigs is a lot of space, man.
Yeah.
Well, alright. Are you going to get one, Chris? You going to buy one for your significant other?
Hello. I might get one in the future. Like, you already know that I just bought a Wii fairly recently.
because you're an idiot.
I played it like one time. I actually bought it to play with my girlfriend. And I've only played my Wii one time in the last... since I bought it, however long that's been. So, I'm not sure, you know, how interested I am in the Wii U. Like, none of my friends like to play Mario with me, which was another reason that I bought it. I love the Mario games. But, unfortunately...
just move to Australia. We'll all play Mario with you, mate.
To play.
I'll get drunk and play Mario with you if you come to Australia. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so apparently my girlfriend is telling me I've had my Wii for 6 months.
Alright.
Or 7 months, and I've never played it, so, you know. I don't know if it's worth buying the Wii U at this point in time. Maybe in the future. Like, I'll put it this way. If I, per se, had a family, right? If I was a young man with a family, then
God
I would definitely buy the Wii U. I would definitely buy it, you know, to enjoy my kids. Because, like, what is not better than sharing... like a game of Mario with your kids. Like, that would be so fun. I would love that. Or Mario Kart. Like, doesn't even have to be just Mario, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. So, if you're out there, you know, you have some kids, you want a game with them, then definitely buy the Wii U. It's totally worth it.
Exactly.
I think so as well. It is true. Like, there is nothing more fun than playing Mario Kart with a couple of friends or, you know, like Chris was saying, if you had kids, it'd be awesome to play with your kids because they'd be able to play it and it's still challenging enough for you. That makes it fun.
Even if you don't have kids, fuck it, get drunk with your mates, you know, play some Mario. It's an awesome time.
Exactly.
There you go.
Get drunk. From
Chris Mayer, the drunk himself.
I'm not a drunk, man.
me? I'm not going to get it. I don't really buy consoles. I'm much more a PC man, so I don't think...
what Chris just said really offers... he's a giant pussy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so I'm not going to go get it. Alright, guys, we're going to move on. Steam. Their autumn sales are out. I just want to get you guys' opinion. What games have you seen for sale that you've liked, or what games have you bought? I might actually even log on to Steam and see what's going on at the moment. Start off with you, Liam. I know you spent a little bit.
Where to start? I hate Steam for their sales. Because my money is gone. like
latest.
Alright, let's put it to like a way that people can understand. I get roughly $480 a week. That is gone. Alright? That is all gone nearly. I've been buying games flat out. There's been so many games that I've wanted to buy for a while and they've all just come down to like $2-$3. The most expensive one I've bought is $30. I'll go through a list of the games I have bought on this damn sale.
Alright, first off...
Ah, damn it, Kurt!
First off, I'm going to go on to the... I'm going to show you guys what's on sale, first off. Alright, quickly go here...
Dude, Deus Ex Human Revolution, $6.24.
I know.
Jesus, we have Borderlands 2, minus 50%, $34.99. Buy it. Good value, you reckon?
Dirt cheap. That's
dirt
awesome.
Cheap, awesome.
It's a bargain!
What game did you say?
Borderlands 2. F1.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't actually, because it's for PC, first of all, you can buy a new graphics card, which everyone needs at this point in time, and you can get Borderlands 2 for free. And Assassin's Creed as well. If you buy a 680 GTX on Newegg right now, you not only get Borderlands 2 for free, but you also get Assassin's Creed 3 for free. So don't waste your fucking $30 on Borderlands 2, if you don't have a good graphics card, just go out, buy a 680 GTX, and get both of the games for free.
Alright, good words of wisdom. F1, 2000...
Thanks, Chris.
F1, 2012, right, minus 50%, $24.99.
What game did you say, mate?
F1, 2012. Yeah, any of you guys bought that? Any of you guys want that?
Fuck that, no, I'm not that shit game. F1, who wants to race Indy cars?
Yeah, let's go around a circle track for 3 hours. Oh, sounds good, man.
I like racing games, Chris. I like
yeah,
them.
Yeah, okay, I love racing games, but do you know what Indy racing is? Have you ever watched Indy racing, mate?
Yeah, they come to Australia, Indy races.
Okay, I guess Indy racers don't even go around circle tracks. They do a lot more than that, but...
it's
still,
a bit
I can't
more entertaining
see
than NASCAR.
Indy, that's very true. I can't see Indy racing in a game being entertaining. Like, no one wants to watch you fucking race an Indy race. You want to race, like, sports cars and all kinds of stuff and customize your shit. Not some Indy car, you know? You just can't see that game being that entertaining. No wonder it's on sale.
Alright. Deus Ex. Human Revolution, -75%, $6.24. If you haven't played this
game,
fucking get it. It's a great game. It's got good value. I'd buy it. Any of you guys bought that? Would you think of buying it? Or you guys already played it already?
I've already played it.
Well, we've only got a day to hear about it if we want it.
I mean, it's $5, man. Is it worth buying?
Yes.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
it's
actually a really great game. Yeah.
Is it better on PC or like a console though?
It's PC.
It can be better
PC.
On PC.
All right, well then, I'm gonna buy it then.
Also
on Deus Ex, yeah.
It's easy.
Then we have Chivalry, Total War Shogun, Mark
of the
Ninja.
Oh my god, flash sale. LA Noir is $3.74. I'm gonna buy it right now.
Liam, it's hard to turn down a $5 game, mate. You know,
what the
it
hell?
Really is.
Guys,
it
get
is
on
$3.
Get
it's
on Steam
hard to
right now.
$3.70, guys. Oh my god.
There's
I'm
a $50 game, Psychonauts, man. That looks good.
What
Wait,
are
what are you looking at on the flash sales?
LA Noir, $3.
Really?
It? Oh, guys, free Dota 2 key if someone wants it. Awesome.
Yeah, there's a Dota 2 key for someone. Hopefully it
someone
actually
hopefully
works,
gets
you know?
That. What else do we have on Steam at the moment? Alright, so top sellers
actually,
so far.
If anyone is actually right now, I do have 4 free Dota keys on my Steam account, so if anyone wants it, just message us on Facebook, facebook.com/ScotchGamingPodcast, and I can hand you out a key.
Alright, so here are the top sellers. I'm going to give you guys top seller out of all of them, Chivalry. Did you guys expect this as being the top seller?
Yeah, it's a fun
Holy
game,
shit.
Man.
Wait, what is Cities XL? This game looks fun in the flash sale.
And Skyrim, still number 2.
Or the win.
Alright, so that's enough of that. What games are you going to buy? Tell me. Tell me now.
Buying how many games I purchased?
Yeah, go Chris.
Would you like me to go through the list?
Yeah, I would like you to go through the list.
Alright, I bought Bioshock 1 and 2, Fear 1 and 2, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, LA Noir, Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, Max Payne 3, Portal 2, Knights of the Old Republic 2, and The Witcher. That was a good day.
Awesome. And how many of those games are you going to play?
All of them.
Are you sure about that?
I'll play every game. Guaranteed.
Alright,
may not
all right.
be this year, but it will take a few years.
Alright, I guarantee you're going to play like 2 of those games.
I'll make a bet with you. I'll play all of them.
Alright. Shannon? Apart from LA Noir,
thank you for your purchase.
Apart from LA Noir, what are you going to buy?
Well, I just want LA Noir. I really like the flash sales that are on the page. Like, if you scroll down a little bit down on the store page, they have flash sales that last for, like, the day. And they're, like, ridiculously cheap, and you have to be there at that time to purchase them. I just bought LA Noir for $3.74. Mind you, I sell at my work for, like, $40, that's definitely
so that's only,
a discount right there.
That's just the standard edition, though. You don't get the DLC.
No one
cares. Hey, I don't care, man. It's $3.
He works in a game
store.
You can get the DLC for nothing.
what's the face? Chris? Steam sales, doing it right?
Well, I think the Steam sale is definitely doing it right, man. So far, I bought SimCity 4, which is a complete fucking waste of money, because... after I bought it, I realized the game was made in 2003, and I was like, okay, this game is shit. Graphics are absolutely terrible. I tried to zoom in and, like, change my resolutions, like, see, like, you know, am I just on the wrong resolution? Am I too zoomed out? But no, it was still shit no matter how you put it. So I'm pretty excited for SimCity 5. I've always loved SimCity games, but, you know, it was only, like, fucking $3 or something. It was an awesome game to buy for $3. I might play it. Probably not. I bought Left 4 Dead 2 because Liam was like trying to convince me forever, and I told him I would buy it when I was drunk apparently
one
night.
That's sick.
Yeah, I told him it was only like $5.
Oh yeah, I've got that as well, man. We should play.
Yeah, so now we can play Left 4 Dead 2 together. I'm kind of looking at the Cities XL game on the flash sales.
Dude, that's a really good city sell.
Is that a good
it's
game?
It's like SimCity, but like it's like SimCity, but like an MMO. Like actually share cities. On a massive world, and you can, yeah, it's like got a whole economy and everything. It looks really cool.
It looks pretty cool. I'm a little interested in this game. I love games of like building things, like Roller Coaster Tycoon. Like back when I was writing in Mind Games and Cataclysm, like you can ask any of the warlocks. I was talking about how you know, I just wanted to like stop and go play Roller Coaster Tycoon. I was like, fuck progression, I want to go play Roller Coaster Tycoon. You know, I still stuck out every raid, but like, you know, love games that build things like that. So I noticed The Sims is on sale, but I think it's no longer on sale. I kind of wanted to buy that, but there's so much DLC that you have to buy to go to that. At one point, I added every DLC to my cart, and it was $200-something. It's like, it's really hard to get a game and not have all the DLC for it. I think everyone can attest to that.
Yep.
So I didn't buy that. But at this point, you know, I'm kind of looking at a couple of the games that are up there. I'm probably going to buy Deus Ex. That's almost a given. And Skyrim. I'm actually considering Saints Row. I only have 8 hours, though. But Saints Row is a pretty cool game.
It's only like $10, yeah?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Saints Row is $10. And that seems like it could be an awesome game. Like, I love Saints Row games. They're always really well designed, and it's like a, kind of like a alternative to Grand Theft Auto. So that could be fun to have on PC.
I've always
wanted
to buy
it. Saints Row the Third, the full package, for $12.49. I don't know what the full package includes, but
I think that's the expansion that they brought out and stuff.
Yeah, and you can get that for $3, not even $3, it's $12.49. So I mean, like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. Pretty good. While we're on the topic, did anybody else get Call of Duty World at War on Steam for free?
No.
No, how'd you get that?
World of War on my game list.
Really?
Thanks, Steam, for free games!
Steam!
That's you, man.
Steam!
Maybe it's because I spent over $70, like, here, we'll chuck you this in for free.
Steam, right, morons, games for free. I don't even know what to say about you right now, Steam. You're breaking my heart.
So, guys, talking of all these games, did you guys ever play Mirror's Edge? Classic free running game. It seems like, I didn't think it was that big a deal when it came out, but everyone seems to love it for some reason, and they've been clamoring for a sequel, and now it looks like EA DICE, Stockholm Studios, confirmed developing Mirror's Edge 2.
Yep.
That makes a lot of people happy. What made you like Mirror's Edge 1, Shannon, and are you looking forward to Mirror's Edge 2?
Well, the first thing that like brought everyone in was it was the first showing of DICE's new Frostbite 1 engine, which
they're using Frostbite 2,
used,
I believe.
They're using Frostbite 2 in the second one. The first one, it was their first unveiling of Frostbite 1, and everyone was really excited to see what DICE were going to do after the like majorly successful Battlefield 2 and 2142. They hadn't really done anything else separate from an FPS. And it was just a really cool idea. Like, it was right in the middle of when parkour was, like, really, really famous. Like, you'd jump on YouTube and watch all the parkour videos because it was cool. And you could do it in a first-person perspective. And just the way that the character moved and the way that you traversed around the environment was really slick. Like, the Frostbite... If you've ever played any Frostbite game, even, like, Battlefield 3 feels like you're parkouring when you, like, jump over a small ledge or whatever. Like, it feels very visceral. You grab onto, like, you know, a brick ledge, and you, like leap over it, and it feels like you're
leap,
a person
you
actually doing that.
Over it.
You do launch, and even when you get to cover, you actually launch, like, you plant yourself, like, straight in the dirt. It's very visceral experience, and, yeah, I think that everyone just loved that about it. It was a very in-your-face experience, as opposed to, like, there have been other very famous parkour games, like Assassin's Creed and stuff like that, but this was...
Mate,
you being that person,
just
it
left
felt
out.
Like you were that.
Left out
mate?
The original parkour game on Xbox, which was Prince of Persia.
Oh,
like the very first.
Yeah.
But no one
yeah,
even
no,
knows
true.
About that game and how fucking amazing the first Prince of Persia and
everyone
the second.
Knows
the
game,
that
man.
Game was amazing.
No, man, there's a
that
lot
game
of people
was amazing,
that have
man.
Never
Dude,
heard
I
that
played,
game.
I played and finished the trilogy. I fucking
yeah,
love that game.
Yeah, you know, like all the little secret rooms of like going in like through saws and like all this stuff, like. No one knows about this little secret rooms either. That was the best shit.
I never played it.
I remember, man. But yeah, man. Like, it was just one of those games that sort of, like, everyone... The people that did play it ended up loving it. Like, it was just a very niche game. Yeah, it didn't get the greatest reviews from critics, but it very much developed a following. Almost think of it like... Well, Portal 1 was a lot more successful as in its reviews, but it was one of those sort of like niche games that, you know, if you loved it, you'd love it. So let's see what they're going to do with it. Plus, you know, it's going to be on Frostbite 2. I would assume it's going to probably be maybe even like an updated version of Frostbite 2. Maybe they might add some new like features to it, make the graphics like that slightly better. And plus, I would expect it, considering they're already developing Battlefield 4, I would say that this will come out after Battlefield 4, and it possibly might be their first next-gen title, considering that when they brought out Mirror's Edge, it was their first next-gen title on the PS3 and Xbox and PC. I would assume that the next one will also be the same. It will be like the testing ground, once again, for the next-gen.
You could be very
and
right.
I can't wait.
So what features do you want to see that weren't in the first one, do you think?
I think it definitely needs more variety. It was a very linear experience. Of course, it's very hard, I assume, to develop a game that has a lot of running and traversable environment. Obviously, Assassin's Creed's set because that is an open-world style game. I don't think this game would work as an open-world style, but I definitely think it needs more variety and more paths. and perhaps even like a stronger story. Like, this story was basically you trying to escape from a government that was suppressing you and suppressing all, like, you know, trying to bring people down and all this sort of stuff. So I think it needs a bit of a stronger story and just a lot more varied. Maybe even more varied environments, because separate from being inside a city, you were in like office buildings and it was all just very clean. And I suppose it does lend itself to the visual style of the game, but it kind of got boring after a while.
I can see what you're saying.
And it was very short as well. It was only a few hours, like a few hours long. So I think that's things they need to address. Definitely a lot more variety in both art style and in what you can do. And then also more lengthy experience with a better story.
I've seen some crazy speedrunning videos on YouTube of that game, though. So I'm actually pretty excited. Hopefully some people do some crazy stuff with this one as well. World of Warcraft. 8 years old. It's been around for 8 years, guys.
Wow.
That's a fucking long time for one game. And to still be so successful as it is blows my mind. I know three out of four people on this show at the moment have played World of Warcraft at one time or the other. I mean, even you, Liam, have played it for, you played for
yep.
20 minutes, so I'm not going to fucking ask you any questions. I'm just going to I'm going to ask you guys a few questions about World of Warcraft, so I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. First question I want to ask you guys. I want to know your favorite moment from World of Warcraft that you've played. Just your favorite moment, what happened, what made it special. Shannon Miller, start off with you, mate.
I would probably say the most fondest memory I have of World of Warcraft is when I started playing, and it would probably be when I left, because I was playing Alliance, playing a Night Elf, so I started off in Teldris. And walking outside of the first main area, I can't remember exactly what it was called. It was that Darnassus tree, was it?
Something like that.
You're in that like area with the Darnassus tree, and the first little area that you're in, you do a couple of little quests, and then you get to like actually leave that little town part, and you get actually out into like the outside area of Teldrassil. And I still fondly remember like just that, even though it's considered like a small area compared to the rest of the game, it's tiny, but just walking out there and like seeing all this like beautiful landscape, you know, and like the crazy soundtrack. I love the Teldrassil music, and I still to this day it's still one of my most fondest memories. And then I'd probably say close after that would probably be when you and leveling, like when we first started. I remember you like a 36 hour straight session, and you got your hunter to like level 36 or something like that, and I was still like level 25. Like, Shannon, I'll come help you, and you came to South Shore and to take like to basically just like rip through everything. Yeah, I'd probably say those are my favorite moments.
Yeah, Chris, you still play well. So what's been your favorite moments?
Well, shit, man. You know I'm gonna have a long topic on this.
Exactly. So I'm looking
forward to. I'm gonna probably have a favorite moment from every expansion. So let's start out back in vanilla.
Sure.
Favorite moment in vanilla was probably the first time I set foot in Molten Core, and I was like, holy fuck, this actually, it might have been Zul'Grub. I don't really know which one was my favorite, but I was like, fuck, this place is awesome. like, look at this list. Like, this is a game, but it's like, you're so immersed. Like, this is so sick. So, I really felt like the first raid that I did was pretty cool. I had a friend that came out and helped me, and, leveling, he had a hunter as well, and I was, okay, so I made my first World of Warcraft character, right, and it was a rogue. Okay, I'm a net elf rogue, time to kick some ass. And yep. I was doing dead mines, and I saw this paladin, and he was, like, tanking, healing, and doing damage all at the same time, and I was like, oh my god, I have to be that.
You're like, that guy's so powerful.
I was like, damn, that guy's awesome. Like, look at him, he's doing everything, man. Like, what a god. Like, how amazing. So, like, okay, I'm going to do a paladin. So I leveled a paladin at that point, and it was really cool. And then I started raiding on a paladin. That was pretty awesome. And then Burning Crusade came out. That was a fun expansion. Favorite moment in Burning Crusade was definitely clearing Serpent Shrine Cavern. And we got Lady Vash down, like, the most epic feeling. So that was pretty cool. Wrath, you know I fucking hate a Wrath, so fuck yeah. Wrath. Then we move on to Cataclysm. Cataclysm was a pretty interesting expansion. It had a lot of ups and downs. I didn't really think it was that great. But I played a Warlock through that. And probably the greatest moment was getting Heroic Ragnaros down for like a US... I don't even remember. It wasn't even that high of a kill. It was like...
Top 50. 73rd, I think.
Oh, okay, never mind. It's top 8. Wow, that's pretty horrible now that I think about it. But it was a cool kill. Like, I just felt epic. Like, that was a fun fight. I felt like it was a lot of work to get there. Or either that or Sinestra. Sinestra was also, like, a very, very fun fight.
Mm-hmm.
So then we move on from Cataclysm. And now we're in Mists of Pandaria, and I'm raiding with a guild that pretty much all our kills have been top 20 US, some top 10. We've gotten like a number 5, and so far my favorite moment and the most epic feeling moment in this expansion has been, I gotta think about this one. I wanna say the Heroic Will of the Emperor, Heroic Spirit Kings are both like very, very fun kills. Elegon, however, was one of the coolest fights in this expansion so far, and it felt pretty epic to me to be killing that guy. I liked that.
Everyone loves Elegon for some reason. I don't get it that much.
Well, you're not a DPS, so you get 100% damage increase the entire fight.
Yeah, true.
And then you get like a, you know, percent increased damage like throughout the fight as well as you kill sparks. They come at the start of every spark phase. Anyway, Kurt, what's been your favorite World of Warcraft experience?
Well, I think I'll sort of do the same thing as you. I'll go through the expansions. Vanilla, classic. Best thing ever. Shannon's like, Kurt, you have to play this game. It's pretty fucking good. I'm like, because I knew World of Warcraft before that. I was like, never playing World of Warcraft. I'll get it.
Wait, Shannon said that?
No, I said that. I said, never. I'm never playing
World of Warcraft. I was the one that brought him in.
Play, I'm saying.
Yeah. Then Shannon's like,
got him to play, man.
It's hilarious.
Then Shannon's like, look, you have to play World of Warcraft. It's a good game. Here's a trial CD.
It's a little bit of crack, mate.
Installed.
A little bit of crack for free.
I'm like, all right, I guess I'll try. So I went to my mate's place and put it on his PC, and I was like, logged in, didn't stop playing for like ages. I didn't sleep for fucking ages. I was like in the game. I love Darkshore. That was probably the best experience. Me just going through Darkshore, the world, the music, everything was just crazy for me. And that was near the end of Vanilla-ish, because we got pretty late into it.
I think we were about 2 or 3 months out of Burning Crusade.
Yeah. And then Burning Crusade hit, and I wasn't even 60
You guys are wild babies.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I only came
we
in like
in vanilla though. We started in vanilla. Come on.
You did start in vanilla, it's true, but you didn't start like very early in vanilla. I mean,
favorite.
That's because we were naysayers, man.
Yeah, my favorite experience was in BC. Easily my first raid. That was when I did my first raid. I fucking loved it. I was addicted to raiding. Couldn't get enough of it, and then I just wanted to get better and better. Like I was learning to play my hunter properly. Like I learned to play how to play my hunter properly, like really well, and I became like one of the second best hunter on the server, or second, third best hunter on the server, I'd say. Easily one of the top hunters. and I rated really
Kazgaroth
pretty high on Kaz. Yeah.
So you're the best hunter on Kazgaroth.
Well, that's Kaz. Then we hit hit Wrath. Probably my favorite experience there was opening day of Wrath. It was pretty cool. It was the first time I ever done like an opening night playing with everyone else at the same time, because BC didn't really have it. We know obviously started late, and I fucking loved that. Then Wrath sort of went downhill from there, sort of, but we'll just get away from that. Kata, I really enjoyed. I met Chris in Kata, so that was pretty cool. That was one good thing about Kata.
And you me, hard, Kurt. Now you make me feel guilty for not mentioning you.
Me playing, and also switched to healing, which is totally new. Chris taught me how to heal as well, which was fun. He was always like, heal harder, Kurt. And now I'm just a boss healer, so.
And the entire time I was destroying him on heals, and then eventually he just stepped it up, and fuck, he was good.
Yeah, and then once I learned how to use my spells, but and this expansion. My 24 hour stream, can't go past it, mate. It was an epic journey.
Ah, true. That was fucking epic. You're right, mate. That was fucking cool. All
right, Liam. What's your fondest memory of World of Warcraft?
He's like logging out.
All right, no, I'm not gonna ask that. There we go. One more question for you guys.
Who's uninstalling it?
Two more questions. two more questions for you guys. Favorite boss. Nah. Chris, we'll start with you.
Favorite boss.
You only get one boss.
Game?
One boss. Favorite boss.
Okay, well, it used to be Lady Vash, and now it's moved to Sinestra. Sinestra has been my favorite boss so far. Although Lady Vash is in a close second.
What made Sinestra your favorite boss?
Like, basically, the fight starts, you know, with you falling through the floor after killing a heroic Cho'Gall, which is supposedly the last boss in the Twilight Realm. I don't remember what the instance is called.
Bastion of Twilight?
Bastion of... So the supposed last boss in the Bastion of Twilight. Kill him and the floor falls away as his body disappears into the abyss. Off to loot him. Boil his corpse. So upon jumping off, you find that there is Nestra, the mistress of Deathwing, down below, waiting for you. At which point you decide, you know, to attack her. And the entire fight is, like, pretty fucking epic. You know, you go from this guy helping you out with a huge bubble and having to heal him and, like, killing her eggs and killing her well.
I healed the bubble girl. The bubble guy.
He puts a cutter bomb on you and you have to kite that shit and make sure it doesn't cut anyone. I felt like the mechanics in that fight were extremely well done. And the environment itself, like, all the colors, like, everything about the environment was pretty fucking epic. I feel like that zone in the finals, like, fight was really, really well done. I feel like it was one of the best fights they've had. Let's just do our top three, Kurt.
All right, top three. top three.
So, second favorite has to be, by far, Lady Vash. Because that fight had so much individual requirements. Like, that was a good fight, man. That was a really good fight. You had to kite. You had to, you know, do orbs, like everyone had to do their own orbs. You had to do other stuff, you know. Anyway, okay, sorry. You had to kite, you had to kill, like, the right mobs to get orbs while killing other elementals. And then there was the other mob that went fear. That was the kiting mob. Fuck, what is the mob I'm forgetting? There's one. Oh, there were the tank mobs. The tanks had the tank. And they cleaved, and they were a bit challenging. But the fight itself, like, from when it came to the bridge, like, popping up out of the water, like, it was really cool. I loved that entire zone. Pretty cool zone.
Alright,
your third,
mate.
Favorite fight is probably gonna have to be the Lich King.
I hate that fight. But, yeah, okay, sure.
No, not the Lich King. Fuck. How can I mix the two up? I meant Illidan. Illidan's an awesome fight.
Okay. Now that makes more sense. Alright.
Fuck the Lich King.
Shadowmilla, your top three. Boss fights.
My number one boss fight would probably be what's that robot from Ulduar?
Mimiron.
XT.
Oh, X2.
Yep. XT, probably my favorite fight. Because I was gonna play and
that boy.
It was like
go ahead, let's go.
I'll be breaking everything.
I don't know what he says, but he sounds like that.
Alright, wait. 1 second.
Alright, bring it
you
up, mate.
You guys won't be able to hear it, but here's the voice.
I promise
right.
I won't bring them this time!
So, that was probably my favorite. Only because, like, yeah, it's a very melee-friendly fight. Basically, you just stand next to the boss and DPS your heart out, and then you actually DPS his heart out, and you get, like, I think it's, like, 50% extra damage or something, or 150% extra damage, something crazy like that. And I used the meters fly, being a rogue. That was pretty good, especially in Ath. I don't know, I didn't really do too much raiding. Obviously,
that,
I did.
You just do the first boss. You just do the, that was your favorite boss. We'll just leave
yeah,
it up for you.
Yeah, that was my favorite boss.
Alright, Liam, what was your favorite boss, mate?
I love
him. What'd you enjoy? Alright, I'll go mine. I'll switch it up from Chris. My third favorite boss. Probably gonna have to say Sinestra. That was a really fun boss, obviously for all the same reasons that Chris liked, except I wasn't a DPS, I was a healer. So it went from, like, at the start I'd DPS a bit, then I'd have to go to healing a little fucking mob, then, like, boost my healing. Then the last phase, and I was also dispelling Rack, which they didn't have to deal, which is a debuff, which, when you dispelled it, it split into two other people, and just split for, like, a period of time. And you had to, I was one of the dispellers, so I really had to manage that. And then the last phase was just fucking crazy amounts of damage while running around from this. Trying to heal that fight was fucking a blast. I enjoyed it. So that was a pretty good fight. Second fight, favorite fight? Illidan, for sure. It was a long fight, like a 15, 20 minute, it was like a 20 minute fight or something like that. Where you actually had to play well for the entire time and not really fuck up. And had like a bunch of distinctive phases. Enjoyed that. Favorite boss of all time, Heroic Mimiron. Yeah, that fight was mental. Crazy as fuck, amount of shit you had to pay attention to, fun to DPS, it was just great. It was great all around, hard fight, good challenge. Alright guys, and for the last question, favorite expansion? Shannon.
BC, without...
Chris.
BC was the best. Oh, can I tell why?
You can tell why.
I want to say why. Well, because rogues were overpowered in 2v2. And it was like super face roll. Nah, it's actually not face roll to play a rogue, guys. Don't fucking listen to the naysayers. It's actually pretty fucking hard. But anyway,
no,
yeah, BC
not,
for sure, man.
Alright, Chris.
Shut up, Chris.
Rogues are pretty easy.
Alright, Chris, what was your favorite expansion? Well, BC, obviously. But why?
Yeah, well, okay, raiding, I feel like, was really well done. Heroic 5 bands were extremely challenging. You know, even the best players, you know, it wasn't easy to get through them. You had to actually, like, CC and play the game the way it's meant to be played.
Man. Fucking true, man.
Yeah, you had that, and then you had, you know...
Alright, and for me? BC.
Well, I wasn't done, but...
Well,
anyway.
You're done. I'm gonna go now. BC. BC, obviously the favourite expansion. I think everyone can agree on that, obviously.
You know what's really funny?
What?
I'm gonna bring light to a situation. I remember when BC was out and everyone was fucking bagging the shit out of it. They said it was, like, the worst thing that ever happened to WoW, and everyone looks back on it and says, you know what? BC wasn't that fucking bad at all. It was actually fucking amazing. There you go.
The one reason I love BC as well, obviously on top of the reasons that you stated, was the fact that you had 25-man raidings and then you had completely different 10-man raids, which was awesome if you're a 25-man raider, which
and
I assume you were.
And fucking Karazhan was actually pretty fucking good as a 10-man raid. Raid was awesome.
You could do your 25-man raids, hardcore, and then you get together with your buddies, have a few drinks, go through fucking Karazhan, do some fun fights. It was just fucking fun.
System ZF and shit. Not ZF, yeah. Fucking... What's it called?
ZA.
ZF?
Zulaman.
That's right.
Zulaman.
That was cool as well.
Alright guys, so that's WoW talk. Hopefully, WoW, obviously, I reckon it'll make 10, 11 years. Can't wait for the 10-year anniversary, that should be pretty fun. Blizzard, give better shit away on your anniversaries. I don't really like this year's one.
No,
what was
fuck
this
year's one.
Yeah, it was bad. It was like a item that you get for the anniversary period where it gives you like 8% extra experience and rep. So that wasn't that fun at all. Okay, so that's
a social
soul. Yeah. So that's our WoW talk. That was quite a long period. We love WoW, so that's about it. Move on. GTA 5 might be coming to PC. I obviously think it will come to PC. Probably not at the same time as console though. But here's the hoping. What do you reckon? Good?
It'll definitely to PC. Rockstar have brought out every single GTA to PC to date so far. And especially like the original first two games were on PC anyway to begin with. It will be afterwards though. Like the game is probably going to come out between March and May next year on the console, and I would say that it's going to be towards the end of next year when we see it on PC, but it is going to be a much better version than what is available on the consoles. Like I reckon it'll look fucking amazing, absolutely amazing, and I can't wait. Of course though, I'll play it on my console before then, because I probably won't be able to wait.
Yeah, I know you. Also know that you'll probably play it for 10 minutes and finish it off. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, shut up.
I kid. Did you guys see the guy was running Skyrim with 100 graphic mods enabled? Did you guys watch how good it made the game look? And I really think, because whenever I see, like, when I'm playing a game, I'm like, wow, I don't really think graphics can get that much better. But then you see shit like this, you're like, wow, the next generation of games are going to look fucking crazy, and I'm going to need to buy a new graphics card. I'm going to need 2 690s.
Yeah.
What do you guys... Yeah,
I saw the images, and I was absolutely blown away. Like, do you know the funniest about it all? It's some guy that's not even employed. Yeah, okay, he got other people's mods, but even those mods are made by maybe like one or two people that actually make the game that's built by a multi-million dollar company that's been doing this for years and years and years. They make what already was a pretty decent looking game, Skyrim's pretty beautiful, into something that is absolutely amazing. Like, if you guys haven't seen the images, just do a quick Google search. It was on Kotaku last week. Just search Kotaku Skyrim mod or something like that, it'll come up as one of your first options. And like the grass, man, the grass looks amazing. Some of the pictures are almost like photorealistic. There's a picture of a girl standing in front of a fire, and you can see back, like you can see all the details in her skin and everything. It's pretty incredible. I think that definitely graphics are headed in that direction anyway. We are getting to the point where you see games like even like Heavy Rain being over a year old, it looks amazing with like, you know, facial animations and the way that the characters and environments look. So it's definitely on that way. It's a bit of a shame though that modders have to be the ones that do it, but I think that also comes to the fact that a lot of games nowadays is a multi-platform regardless, so they're all built on the with console in mind, ported to the PC, and yeah, some companies take a little bit of extra time to adjust it and to make it better on the PC, like Skyrim, but there is still definitely a lot bigger window of opportunity to be made even better, and that's displayed by the modders. Like, like I said, the pictures look incredible. Have you guys seen them? Yeah. I'm pretty sure that Liam's probably seen them.
Did you see them, Chris?
Oh, I love them.
I didn't see them.
Should go look at my bay. They look
what do you reckon,
amazing.
Liam?
I saw them, and I've made a goal for myself. I'm going to try and put as many...
Good for you, Liam.
You're gonna try
I'm going to try. My computer may blow up, but it'll be worth it.
Well, I think I read his post, the guy that did it, and he was saying that he was running on average, I think, 30 frames a second for most of the time when he was in high grassy areas, which obviously grass is one of the most intensive things a computer can do. He was getting about 8 FPS.
I just looked at him like...
How fucking do they look, Chris?
If I played the game at this level, I would never quit the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I would never stop playing.
I think you just get used to it though, like eventually. If you got, like, you need like a crate, I think he's only got a 670 though, the guy. I'm pretty sure.
670.
Yeah.
But yeah, like in those very high grassy areas or just somewhere where there's a lot of detail, like in a very treed area, he gets like 7 frames a second. Like These are purely just pictures. Like, obviously, it shows you having a 670, like, the latest Ranger card. Yeah, it's not the top of the range.
Well, yeah, but, man, there's a lot of overclocking that can be done to those cards as well to actually make them perform well. A lot of people don't know how to fully utilize their graphics cards. Like, I'm still running a 480, and I play Skyrim on Ultra. I play every game on Ultra, and I can run it with a 680, and I ran that...
But you're lucky, because you have a 480, man. Like, the most, like, easily accessibly overclocked card in the business, like...
That's not true, actually. The 580 Classified was the most easily accessible overclockable card in the
business. Yeah, but I'm talking about 480 series in, like, rawdance. Like, that card is still... Like, for something that is, like, so cheap nowadays, like, it's definitely a card that can still play, like you said, games on Ultra or High that are available today, so...
Well, any of the 400 cards, though, you can do that with, because...
Yeah.
If you know how to overclock, you can do anything, but a lot of people don't have that knowledge. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And overclocking
is really
easy.
Oh, look, there's no doubt about it. You can you can definitely overclock shit like that, but I think that becomes a problem if you're having to overclock to play a game. Like, for a game to actually come out with, like, those high, like, that higher graphics, you need to be able to... It needs to be able to be supported by a wide community, not by just a community of overclockers. So,
but if you have the top-level card, a 680 or a 670, sure, you can run the game like this, no problem. But if you have a 480, you're not going to be able to run the game like this, obviously. It's not going to happen because the technology... The 600 series cards that are overclocked properly. It all depends on how properly you overclock your card, and a lot of people just don't have the knowledge to do that.
Yeah. I agree in the sense, though, that it would be very, very cool if game companies, and like I said, it is held back by consoles, so we can't... It's probably never, ever going to happen, but it would be pretty awesome if they did actually release, like, a very, very high graphics... option for a game that, yeah, is only subject to those people that do own the best or, you know, pretty much close to the best stuff. Like, somebody that does have, like, two 690s in their PC with, like, 32 gigs of RAM, like uncompressed, like, video and stuff like that. Like, I think that would actually be really cool. Like, yeah, it'd probably cost a lot of money, and it would only apply to maybe, like, 2% or 3% of the people that own a PC, but... I think it would be really cool, because that's one thing that actually does suck about having a really high-end PC, is there's nothing actually to really test your PC. There is stuff nowadays that does it to mine, like 580 GTXs are almost 2 years old now, and I've got two of them, yes, but there is stuff that starts to actually...
Look at playing Crysis 3 on Ultra, like, everything completely maxed.
That's what I mean, like, that stuff's going to start pushing my PC, but... I want to see stuff that pushes somebody that has two 690s. Like, imagine that. That'd
be cool. Nothing's
going to
push these 690s, mate. Star Citizen is coming out. And that looks like it's going to push two 690s. The guy pretty much even said he's making a game. The game he's making right now cannot be played by anything. Like, on everything max, it cannot be played by anything that's currently out. Unless, obviously...
That is actually incredible. I did not know that at all.
Unless you're obviously one of those crazy guys that, like, pours liquid nitrogen into the computer to run it. Obviously, you probably could run it there.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
While we're on the subject.
Star Citizen.
Star Citizen.
Well, you go. You can tell him, Shannon. You tell him.
It's just become the number one funded game of all time, 5.14 million.
From crowdsourcing, I should clarify.
That is absolutely incredible.
Now, he didn't do it all through Kickstarter. He did, I think he made like 1.4 million through Kickstarter, and then through his own personal site, he made the other 4 million or something.
Yep.
It was crazy, though. Like, how much money for just one game?
We actually talked about this a few weeks ago, and I remember I was the one that actually brought up the sub initially when I told you about it, Kurt, and just from what you just said then about how the graphics aren't even going to be possible on current PC setups, like, that is what I wanted. That's what I was just saying before, like, that's what I want from PC gaming. I love that there is a need or a want for people to have something like that again on PC. Like, there were basically those doomsdays for PC, you know, a couple of years ago where everything was on console, nothing was getting ported to PC, and if it was ported to PC, it was the worst possible port.
Well, this now is the other way around. Like, this is even... This
I know,
is
this is
PC.
Totally the other way around. This is all exclusive, and this is something that actually does test, and I love that, you know, he says stuff, this is the space sim that everyone's been wanting. If you're a hardcore space sim fan, or an old school fan of, like, hardcore PC gaming, this is the game for you, and that's what I want to see. I want to see stuff like that. And I remember saying the last time, it sucks that big publishers accept that as a true medium to which to sell games, but it's cool to see that these guys still believe in it. And this guy, the weirdest thing is this guy's not even like some schlub that doesn't even know how to build PC games. He made Wing Commander, he made Free Space and Descent. Like, those are like the three biggest series, Space Sim. And like, he couldn't even get like funding from a publisher because they said PC gaming is dead. But I applaud him. I think it's great that he's earned this much money, and just the news that you just said then, I'm happy that I'm not going to be able to play a game at full. Yeah. I know that's a really weird thing to say, but I am actually happy about that, because that means that there is definitely a step forward now in PC gaming, so I'm happy.
So, to clarify, by the time the game comes out, I'd say like the top end computer will probably be able to play it, but yeah. I think anything lower than that, though, I highly doubt it's going to be able to play it on a completely ultra. I mean, this game looks crazy, so I'm looking forward to that. An interesting case in China gave precedent to video game property to become legal property for the people. So in this instance, you can't really sell a WoW account or something. Say you put all this time in it, it's not technically yours, and it can just be taken away. You can't sell it, you can't do anything with it. What's the precedent in China is actually you can sell it, it's your property once you've made it in the game. This is pretty fucking cool, I think, because that's one thing I don't really like about video games. If you put all this time into a character, it's not yours, you can't sell it and shit. I like being able to sell, I can be able to sell a character, it's cool. What do you guys reckon?
I reckon so, yeah.
I think it's a cool idea, but... Oh, sorry, Chris. Continue. I don't want to cut you off.
I mean, you worked so hard to put a lot of time into this. Like, if you feel like, you know, you want to value your time with a monetary value, then, like, what's the problem with doing that, you know?
Exactly.
I feel like you should be able to do that.
I think I agree. Like, you'd put all this time into a game, like World of Warcraft, or any MMO, really, and you do create this character... and like your own story around this character and all that sort of stuff. And if it gets to the point where you can't actually play it anymore and you have spent hundreds if not thousands of dollars on like already like paying to actually get your character where it is or whatever, I think like you own everything that you've done about it. You've had to pay your way to actually get to where you are. So I think that it makes sense that you'll be able to sell what you've done. It is an investment. Like, you know, you guys like hardcore raiders, like, you do put, you know, 20-30 hours a week into raiding, and to not be able to actually own that yourself is kind of a weird thing, but and it has to obviously start in China, because that's based of where everything like that sort of stuff goes on regardless anyway, but it's good to see that it's kind of actually a part of, like, their system that's not just done under the wraps, like, it's like pirated stuff, it's not against the code, against the computer company or the game company. It's actually something that they're allowed to do, which is kind of cool. Like if I had the chance to sell my WoW account, I probably would. No one would buy it now, but back then, yeah, they might have. Like, I don't play WoW anymore, so to be able to actually sell it, you know, even if I got a couple hundred bucks or $100 out of it, like, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's not worth anything more. You probably get, like, $5 for your account, man.
It's worth nothing now. I know that.
Yeah. Moving on from that, THQ, company that's down the dumps. I think they're doing a little bit better now, but just when you thought things were getting a little bit better...
No, dude, you have no idea. They closed their Australian office like 2 weeks ago, man.
Yeah. A tattoo artist is suing THQ for a design that they did for MMA fighter Carlos Conduit. when obviously they made the MMA game, and they include the characters from real life, obviously, and they just include the tattoo that was on this guy in the game. And because this tattoo guy is the artist that did it, he's suing them, saying, "That's my design, you used it without asking for my permission." Holy shit, THQ, you gotta fucking... I can't believe they didn't see this sort of thing. And I can't believe this is actually a thing in America, that they someone would sue for this.
I think it's pretty strange.
When in America, man?
What are you Americans doing, Chris?
Fuck if I know, man. Everyone's so happy over here.
I think it's utterly ridiculous. Like, I think the only reason they're going after... Obviously, the guy didn't go after MMA, the MMA company, because... Like, it's just ridiculous, I think. This is ridiculous.
You really want to know what I have to say, man? I think the guy's a fucking moron. He's trying to get as much money out of whatever he can. Feels like he can't get any money out of anything. He probably doesn't have a lot of money. As it turns out... Well, never mind. It's off topic. Fuck it.
Nah, go for it, mate. You can go. You can say it.
As it turns out, just 2 weeks ago, my cousin and her husband were killed in an explosion in their home, and it turns out that the explosion was caused by two people hiring, like, the people who owned the home next door to them, supposedly hired people to put a bomb in their house and blow up their house, and blame it on a fire.
So, is that really what happened?
That's really what happened. They were planning to get money from insurance from their house being burned down.
But it actually, in fact, blew up all the houses surrounding.
They hit 40 houses in the neighborhood that had to be demolished. Supposedly.
Wow.
Might have to be demolished. I'm not quite sure. And the only two people dead are my cousins. My cousin and her husband. But in America, at this point in time, people will do anything to get money. It's really sad, the state that our country's come to. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. Alright, so... That's too bad.
That was a really good point, Chris.
Yeah.
I respect that. That was a fucking good point.
Yeah, well, America is in a bad sort of state, I think, personally, at the moment, but...
No, I think so.
Move on from there. EA, CEO, is calling... Well, he just said he wants a global classification system. I think a global classification system is well overdue. And by what I mean by global classification system is every single country has their own classification. Australia's got a shit one. We're moving into a slightly better one, I guess, but we're going to have R18. Americans got their own one. Every single country's got their own classification system. What I think is calling for is an overall, say, if a game's R18, it's R18 in every single country. I think we need it. I don't think it's going to be possible, really. But
it's not possible, mate. Look at, like, the drinking age in different countries alone. You know, in certain countries, you can drink beer at 16. That's 5 years before you can drink beer in the United States of America. So, they're obviously going to have different classifications on, you know, what's an acceptable game for a certain rating in different countries as well, just based off, like, the drinking age alone. So, I don't really... you know, think that it's going to be a very successful thing. Sure, it would be nice, but at the same time, it's not going to work out so well.
Yeah. As the world becomes more global, though, I think eventually we sort of need this for these companies to, like, well, we, like, Australia, we get fucked over quite a bit just because of our government, pretty much. And
you know the first thing that needs to happen?
What?
I don't think it needs to be applied to retail gaming. That's a really hard thing to do because... You know, it's obviously that'll be distributed within each separate country, and yeah, every country already has their own classification, games and movies and music anyway, so I don't think that's something that will ever happen. What they need to do is do global classification for downloadable games, things that you can buy from anywhere in the world, from one service. That's what needs to be changed, because, you know, you can jump onto Steam and buy any game you want, and... Yeah, okay, Steam does show you what it's rated for in Australia. That's probably a bad example. But if you download it from any other gaming service, a lot of them might only be owned and operated in West or in the UK or whatever, so you're going to see their ratings. And most of the time, yeah, you know what they're like. T is for teen in the US. Like, we know that that's like our PG rating. You know, it's meant for, like, teenagers. That's really easy to understand, but for a lot of people, it's not. Like, that's what needs to change. The online portion of classification for gaming needs to change. I think, a global standard. It needs to be something that, you know, whoever controls, like, that sort of sec, like, it's very hard, it's an interesting, like, thing to think about when you actually think of the internet as being, like, a digital place where it still needs to be monitored, hey, but it's getting to that stage in the world where it does.
No, exactly. Also, like, some more Australian news. The Australian game industry is getting 20 million of federal funding. Like, I think just weeks ago we were talking about how Australian the gaming scene isn't going that well, and then now they've got this. What do you think this is going to be spent towards? Do you think, are you excited for this? Hopefully get some good games from Australia. Like, I feel Australian like the gaming scene could be a big player in the world scene. Like, our movie scene shit. This could be good. What do you reckon?
I didn't hear that shit. Sorry. I was watching Grubby vs. Sting on the IEM Singapore, by the way, guys. If you guys watch StarCraft, go watch it now. We might actually see Grubby, our favorite guy from the Netherlands, actually win a tournament. But yeah, sorry, what was the question?
Australia's... Australian gaming industry gets 20 million of federal funding.
Oh, right, yes. From them. That's fucking awesome to see. Hopefully it gets put to good use. Hopefully some studios actually tackle that and bring out some pretty awesome game. I don't know if needed to just be into the developers. I think that it needs to be pushed for a more worldwide notice for our gamers. Like, I think more advertisement of what we can do as a country in gaming is needed more than, I suppose, having more people creating games from Australia, because, you know, our population compared, especially
we need people to buy the games
that are making games, we need people to buy them, exactly. So I think that, I'm not exactly sure how they're putting the money in, but I think a lot of it needs to go into advertising what we can do. Like, maybe put it in, maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5 studios, give a couple of mil each, and really push it for those that can actually make it. Obviously, yeah, we do have some pretty studios. We've got, like, Fire Mint, or Fire Monkey, it's called now, or whatever it's called. You know, they make some massive, like, casual and mobile phone games, but it needs to be put into the other studios that that people think can really, like, out, like... I'm assuming that the guys from Team Bondi have been given a little bit, because I know, well, their new team, whatever it's called, but... You know, they're in the process of making a new game, so I just want to see more advertising. Yeah, Team Bondi.
An Australian name for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liam, you've been very silent. This is an Australian issue, mate. Put your voice in.
Well, I reckon it's done, because then we can have more funding to make more games like L.A. Noire, and more developers try and come up with something like that.
Okay. Alright, so that's most of our gaming news, the news section for the week. We're just going to move on to a few games that came out, talk a little bit about them. First one I want to talk about is the Walking Dead final episode came out, that's the 5th episode. I played it, I streamed it, it was brutal. The amount of soul-crushing shit that happened in that episode, and the series in all, just soul-crushing. Like, spoiler warning, so if you guys don't want to hear anything about the game...
Yeah, mute yourself, mate.
If you don't hear anything about the game, skip ahead, like, 5 minutes or so, we'll be on something else.
I'll kick you out of the channel, hold on. User
was moved out. There we go. First scene in the game, obviously in the 4th episode, you get bitten, so you know, like, something bad's going to happen. First episode, you're fucking going crazy, you're like, oh, what's going to happen? You see a saw, and you're like, hang on a second, do I want to chop my own arm off? So, decision, you put your arm down, and you start sawing your arm off in a game. Holy shit. And then, the whole thing is just like, you're losing people, and in the end you die. You just like, fucking die, you're like, shoot, and you tell your little kid that you're trying to save to shoot you in the head. And the little kid shoots you in the head at the end of the game. And it's just fucking brutal. Alright, that's spoilers gone. That's what happened in the game, but... I reckon...
User was there we go, Liam.
I reckon Walking
Dead... Well, free.
Walking Dead, easy contender for Game of the Year. What do you guys reckon?
I've heard a lot of good stuff. Like, everyone, like, I already know. I played, I'd probably say 75% of the first was, but everyone knows me. I'm I'm the casual gamer that loves to hardcore.
It was only a 2-hour game.
Shut up, idiot. But from everything I've heard and from everything I've read and all the press on it, everyone is saying, like, this is by far one of the best games of this year. One of the best games this generation, storytelling-wise. Like, technical issues aside of it being, you know, frame rate problems and all that sort of stuff, but one of the best games that you could play this generation and that everyone should play it. It looks incredible. Like, I've heard... I already knew what happened in the storylines, obviously. I know that I'm not going to play it because, like I said, I'd play anything, but... I love the fact that they took something that is, you know, I love the TV show, and obviously there is a comic book series that came beforehand, but I love that they took something that was a very adult concept and kept it extremely adult and didn't reduce any of the impact that the comic or the TV series had just for the sake of it being a game. Yeah, it got banned in Australia, of course. But it's unfortunate.
Walking Dead got banned.
Australia completely... Yeah, got banned in Australia. And it's unfortunate because the Walking Dead game isn't a game of just grotesque, over-the-top violence for no reason. Like, from what I understand,
everything has a reason.
Everything has a reason. There's a reason for why this happens, and it's because of the storytelling. It's to make you feel emotion. It's to make you feel like you need to be connected to these people. You want to save Clementine, the girl. Like,
you feel
you want
so
to do
connected.
These things
That character, I would do, by the end of the game, I would have fucking killed anyone or done anything to save that little girl.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much you connect with her.
Yeah.
That's how fleshed out, like, the characters
that's
get in this game.
That's an incredible thing to do in a game. It's such an unfortunate thing that doesn't come out in Australia, but, you know what, we don't really condone piracy in Australia, but if you guys want to, like, import the game on, like, PC or console... You know, even though it is illegal in Australia, if you guys can get your hands on a copy, I would definitely recommend doing it. Kurt would do it.
Can't we just buy it on Steam?
I've already done it. Don't worry about that.
Can we buy it on Steam?
You've got a VPN bypass. But yeah, technically you can. Like, yeah, it's illegal, but for what it's worth, it's a fantastic game.
Do something illegal
once
in a while.
House like 5 times now already.
And I'm just like, I don't think I've played this game in my life. What are you talking about? But no.
Well, I played the first episode and
just finished.
Amazing, and I played part of the game.
Finish playing it, Liam. It's
all right, Liam. Here's
really
a quick
good.
Spoiler.
Oh,
anyway, so you pretty much No, I'm just kidding.
All right, guys. So that's that game. Super exciting game. Move on to the next one. Assassin's Creed 3 PC came out. I played it. I finished it in like 3 days.
How much did you buy it for?
I don't know. I can't remember, man. It was pretty cheap.
Like $60. Wait, how much are games over there in Australia? Well,
yeah, they're pretty expensive. But I bought it over Steam, mate.
Okay, they're about $100.
What on Steam?
Really? Oh, all right.
What I want to say though, like, it's a game of immense scale and immense storytelling, which feels hollow in a weird sort of way. Like, the graphics, obviously crazy good. The fighting is done really well, actually, I want to say. But the story just... You never connect to any of the characters you're in the storyline. Like, you
That's
never...
because you haven't played the other ones.
No, it's not that. Like, it's the Connor storyline. Because the Connor storyline is a storyline by itself. It's got really nothing... to that much to do with the other games. Like, I've read synopsises of the other games before I played this game, but
by the way, guys, Robbie is too with Sting on the IAM Singapore.
No.
Just saying, sorry.
Yeah, but like, for instance, there's a character you meet at the start. You're meant to be best friends with this character, and like, 3/4 of the way through the game or something.
Spoiler.
A little bit, not really. Sorry, little bit spoiler.
Liam.
Nah, don't worry about that.
Dude, I'm about to finish the game now.
It's not really a spoiler, if I want to say. It's just you're not friends with this person anymore. It doesn't really show how the friendship deteriorated. So it doesn't really flesh out, like, why aren't you even friends with this person anymore? And, like, couple of little while ago, you're fucking like best friends with this person. And I want to say, like, and then the Desmond missions, like, for his, like, the Desmond missions should be epic. Like, you're actually getting to do things with Desmond in the real world, and I feel like they should be epic things when they just sort of fall a little bit flat. They're not very hard, and they're kind of boring, like, I guess. And plus, aside from that, ship battles are shit. Boring, and I can't believe you have to do them. Like, they're so, the ships are so slow, and like, oh, ship shooting me, press X, duck. Line up the side,
ship
attack
shooting
it.
Me, press X, duck.
Yeah, and eavesdrop missions aren't fun at all. But the number one complaint about this game is, like, after all those complaints, you know how much I love story, and I actually like cutscenes. I'm a person who likes cutscenes. You guys all know that. I think you guys should all
know. You fucking love storyline, man.
This game is too many cutscenes. This game is too many cutscenes. Has too many goddamn cutscenes.
Too many cutscenes?
I think, like...
No way.
To be honest, this game is like 70% cutscenes. Like, I'm not even fucking kidding. I think you watch more cutscenes than you actually play the game.
I'm in the middle of a cutscene right now.
And it was really weird. And sneaking missions are boring. No one wants to fucking... I hate eavesdropping missions. Staying in a fucking little circle is the most annoying thing ever. Yeah, like Metal Gear Solid, it got too much. Like, it got too much, and I wanted just to do more thing in the actual game. Alright, so that's my take on Assassin's Creed 3. I would play the game, I think. Guys, I think, like, the graphics on the computer, everything had turned to ultra, pretty stellar. And it's an immense game, but... So I think you should still play it, but I would just keep what I said in mind. Alright, Liam, you played the game as well. I know you almost finished. What do you agree with anything I have to say? Do you disagree? What do you think?
Well, I have just finished the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with ship battles. The fucking most boring thing ever. Like, it's a cool concept. The ships look amazing. Water looks fucking spectacular. The actual gameplay of it is boring as shit. It's like people that have played the other Assassin's Creed games, it's like fucking tower defense in Revelations. Not needed. Oh. Thank God you only have to do it once or twice in the game.
Amen for that.
Yeah. As always, the eavesdrop missions are still boring as fuck. It's okay to listen to them and see what's going on, but still, eavesdropping, fucking be in the circle, make sure you don't get caught, be in the circle, oh, catch up to them, same shit every time. Graphics and all that, like I said, are amazing. I'm playing on PC as well. It just looks really good. The story to me, Kurt's a bit different.
Liam's opinions don't count, and just in case you're wondering.
Shut up, dickhead.
Actually, keep in mind that Liam's played the whole series.
Every Assassin's Creed game, and so far, I reckon Connor still has a better story than Altair, but not as good as Ezio. Ezio, because Ezio's three games to stand out his story.
Sorry, man. Keep going.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I've heard the biggest thing about Connor is he's not as likable as Ezio. Like, Ezio was just, like, this chauvinistic guy that... He was very cocky, but at the same time, he had, like, a lot of hard troubles in his life, and you could really relate to him. But with Connor, apparently, he's just a bit of a dickhead, from what I've heard.
He's a bit of a... Everybody loved Ezio because he's fucking Italian. Who can't love Italians, man? But, I didn't mind Connor. Like, story was good. Like, his trainer was good. The whole story for Connor, I thought, was really good. But the Desmond story was far beyond what I expected. It was so much better. This time, instead of, like, running around doing little parkour fucking jumps and everything, this time to kill people, bit of a spoiler, you actually get to go into Abstergo this time and fucking neck cunts. I always wanted to do that. And you get to climb a skyscraper and jump off it. Who hasn't wanted to do that ever since the Assassin's Creed series came out?
I want to say, the Desmond storyline was the better of the two storylines, I think. I was more interested in that. The Connor storyline, like, you have this father, yeah, and like, it doesn't really explore, like, that much, and he doesn't really, I don't really feel like Connor, he just doesn't stand for anything, really, and he's sort of an idiot. I don't really like him.
Basically, Connor, wham, my land's getting destroyed, wham, my father's someone who's this, wham, village isn't getting destroyed again.
Yeah.
That's basically Connor. And the whole setting and everything during the Civil War was a great idea. The whole atmosphere of it was amazing. Going into, like, civil battles between the British and the Americans was really cool.
Once again, though, I didn't do any side missions. I don't like side missions in games, to be honest, that much. I don't do them.
Well,
I'll say this.
I did do all the side missions in Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood. I didn't do them in Revelations because Revelations is my least favorite. But the side missions this one were pointless. Like, in, like, number 2 in Brotherhood, they had, like, to do with the story. In this one, it's nothing like you have to grab telegrams and send them to people. Just, like, little little missions that you just have to... You're a delivery boy for the side missions, and if I was Connor, I would have taken my tomahawk and fucking hit them in the face.
What was your favorite weapon?
That was me.
I love the tomahawk, though. I always thought the tomahawk was pretty fun. I thought it was
great weapon. Did you lose the tomahawk towards the end?
No, I kept it. You can always put it back on. Shannon, I know you actually...
I could not put it on anywhere.
I know you've never actually liked the Assassin's Creed series that much. I think you've seen a little bit of it. What do you think you're going to play this game after what we've said about
it? Alright, first off, I'll tell you the problem with Assassin's Creed. And it's not the storyline, because the storyline sounds amazing. I love the whole end of the world 2012. You know, even though it's completely out of science, the guy going back into his ancestors' past and playing, you know, those people that have come before him to figure out this whole mystery that travels through time. Awesome idea. Love time travel, love science, love all that sort of shit. The problem with the Assassin's Creed games is not the storyline. They want to make a game that is open world. That's fair enough. GTA, they done it. They did it amazing. There's a lot of games that have done amazing. Sleeping Dogs. And it's not the style of it. It's not because it's set in the Middle East, or it's not because it's set in olden times, the reason why it doesn't work. The reason why Assassin's Creed does not work to what it should work is they make the world too big for what it has.
Now, that is true.
It's a lot of running in that game.
A lot of people argue the point that, you know, if you got more shit to do, it should be a better game, but it needs to be more structured. You can have a lot of stuff to do. You can have Skyrim, man. Like, Skyrim is, like, the epitome of open-world adventure games. Like, that has stuff that you do. It might not tie into the main story, but it actually means something to you. You want to go and explore. You want to do all this sort of stuff. You don't want to do menial stuff. They should have cut back the menial stuff. I'm picking on a perspective that I've never played the third one. I've played all the other ones. I almost finished number 2 and I almost finished number 1, so it's not like I didn't play them enough. I actually played them a lot, but they get to a point where you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, and the only reason why you want to finish it is because you want to know what happens in the story. That is a flawed game design. There needs to be a very balanced medium where you reach a gripping story with an appropriate amount of content. Don't give the player too much. Yeah, it's a great idea to actually put as much as you can into a game. I'm not shunning the developer for not putting enough into the game. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have put that much into the game. But there needs to be a reason why you're putting it in. You don't just want to put it in just because you're putting it in, just because you want to make the game bigger. You want to put it in there to make the game better. There's a difference between bigger and better.
Well said, I think. Our last game, Chris, this one's for you, mate. Black Ops 2. I know you've been playing it quite a lot.
Mr.
Prestige.
He's playing it right now. He couldn't stay away from his fucking game that much. He had to play it during the podcast. Give us your thoughts about it, mate.
Killed. Well, all right.
Face the camera when you're speaking.
I'm
pause multiplayer,
game,
mate.
Well, all right, speak, mate.
I honestly want to say that it's a lot more of a run-and-gun style Black Ops than, or Call of Duty game than any of the other ones have been, and I'm not a huge fan of that. I feel like, you know, it's a lot more of run-up, you know, whoever gets the jump first, whoever has the fastest weapon, you know, most damage, whatever, that's what it depends on, and, you know, that's not my favorite style of Call of Duty games, so I don't like that so much, but I feel like the game itself is really fun. I'm very much enjoying playing the multiplayer. I haven't done a lot of campaign. I like how fast-paced the multiplayer is. It's, you know, pretty fast-paced action, although I do miss Battlefield 3 when I play games like this, so...
Alright, I know you played single-player, Shannon, and I think Liam did as well. Give us your take on single-player, then also a little bit of the multiplayer as well.
Well, everyone knows that I'm not the finisher of games. I'm pretty much there for multiplayer in any game. I am a massive fan of the Call of Duty franchise. Yeah, it's dropped off a bit in the last few years to me. It's the game that I played online for the most. Like, I put over 2,000 hours into Call of Duty 1 and 2, which is a lot of hours. That's like 6 years of gameplay. Not 6 years, what am I talking about? I put 6 years of game, like, you know, my life into Call of Duty, that's okay. What I should say. Sorry, I mixed up my words. But yeah, I put, like, over 2,000 hours into the series. But this was the first Call of Duty game I actually finished the single-player campaign on. It was thrilling to play. I loved the way that I was... Yeah, it didn't take very long, 7 hours or so, but... I love the fact that still longer than the other Call of Duty games, but I was gripped from the start to the end. Like, I finished it in 2 nights, and I probably would have finished it in 1 night if I just had the time before I went to work the next day. I just couldn't stop playing it. The storyline, the characters, the action. I don't think that as a single-player first-person shooter campaign that's solely like military like that, it can be beaten for me anyway, for single player that is. I don't want to speak for multiplayer. The multiplayer is pretty good. I'm playing it on PC. It's probably the worst out of all the platforms to play it on multiplayer. There's the least amount of players. For some reason they only want to play team deathmatch. I don't know what's going on there. Whereas domination is like the best I reckon the best mode play, and Chris vouch for that as well.
Fucking love domination.
But from what I've played, the multiplayer is probably my favorite when I get a good game, my favorite since Modern Warfare 1. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. I just wish that I could pro play it more. That's what I'm going to say. Like, I wish I could get into more games.
And Liam, finish us off, mate.
Well, I did the same as Shannon. Finished the single player in 2 days. The camp is good. The campaign was probably the best story of the Call of Duty franchise so far. At least this time, I only played as two people instead of playing as like 10 different people and not realizing who I was, where I was. I didn't give a shit about those stories. I actually cared about this one. The graphics, surprisingly, are really good on the engine. Graphics of the Call of Duty franchise so far. Like, they've pushed it. The limits, I reckon, of the engine. They need a new engine. That's given.
Awesome.
But the multiplayer is actually really good. It shits all over Modern Warfare 3. I'm having heaps of fun with putting about, I think, 7 hours into it. I'm not as dedicated to it as Mr. Prestige himself, but I'll get there eventually.
Mr. Prestige. Alright, guys, well, that's all we have time for today. It's all our topics done, all our games talked about. Thank you very much for tuning in. It's been an amazing show. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you all for the hosts for tuning in, for coming and talking about the games and news as well for us. Let's just do our shout outs and we'll get out of here. Liam, start off with you, mate. Give us your shout outs.
Alright, well, another good week. I'm glad to be back on the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Check out our band My Favorite Episode on Facebook. We've got a gig coming up, so all wish us luck for that. Hope we all go good. And fucking hate you, Steam, and your summer sales. See ya.
Alright. Shannon?
Yes, I've got a Facebook for our band, facebook.com/ My Favorite Episode, spelt the Australian word with an OU. Like Liam said, we've got a gig coming up. We're in the finals of a battle band, so wish us luck. We're recording in January as well, so I can't wait for that. We'll actually have a CD with some stuff for you guys to listen to. Other than that, yeah, just tune in next week. We'll have some more gaming news for you. And also, I'm going to endeavor to actually create a list of our gamer tags, Steam tags, any other games that we play. I'm going to make a list. I said this last week and I fucking forgot. I just remembered then. I will make a list for you guys so we can actually use with our fans. I know there's only a few of you that watch every week on the stream, but there's plenty of you guys out on Facebook as well that watch, so I'd love to play some BF3 or some Modern Warfare. Modern Black Ops 2 with you guys, or even...
I'll even play Halo 4. If you play Halo 4,
you
rate
me.
Play any game.
Yeah, all right,
and Chris finishes off, mate.
Shout out to the Chive, and that's all.
Alright.
The Chive, man.
Come on.
So, this has been Scotch Gaming Podcast. If you want to check out our Facebook, you can always go to www.facebook.com/Scotch Gaming Podcast. You can reach us on our email at scotchgaming@hotmail.com. And you can always check out our streams every Sunday around the same time. Or all the videos that are on Twitch at www.twitch.tv/Krazak. I've been Krazak, this has been Scotch Gaming for another week, and we'll be back next week with some more news. Thank you all for tuning in. Laters.
Bye bye.
Scotch Gaming Podcast. We talk about everything gaming related.
I kind of want to buy Saints Row the Third.